I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Vin Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Ford.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is Chico Now.
Chico Now.
Welcome, welcome. This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now every Monday. Every day of the week, we have a different host, and I am your Monday host. You're listening to us on 104.5 FM, 9:30 a.m., and live streaming or podcast at kkxx.net. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist. My license number is 104464. I'm registered with the California Board of Behavioral Sciences, and I work over at Chico Creek Counseling. You can find me on ChicoCreekCounseling.com. And my co-host today is Melinda Haynes. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist in private practice. Go ahead and tell them your license number and how to find you.
My license number is 102308, and my website is healplaylove.org.
All right. So last week, we were talking about suicidal ideation, and it was pretty heavy. We're going to keep going with it today because there was a suicide on campus today, and we have a lot of young people whose hearts are kind of torn up, and we have a lot of families who are grieving, and it's a conversation that it doesn't happen very often, and so we want to put it out there and make it a conversation. We want to help reduce the stigma and the shame and the fear behind suicide and suicidal ideation, because it is a really sad thing. And it's not something that the loved ones of the person who died by suicide, they're also feeling guilt and shame for, did I miss some signs? Mm-hmm. Could I have done something different? What was the last thing they said to me? They're playing it over and over and over. And when they talk about their grief, they get a lot of judgment from other people. A lot of people say, well, mm-hmm. that's just a selfish way to die. Or, right. well, they're going straight to hell because they murdered themselves, and that's right. a Ten Commandment. And yeah. so then the survivors, the loved ones of that person, also have to not only grieve, but they have to grieve in judgment.
Yes.
And yeah. so.
And in guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And in all these other heavy, heavy emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we want to, our goal is to have this conversation, to educate our community about it a little bit more, so that when it happens, because more people die by suicide than die by homicide, so when it happens, we know how to have compassion, and we know how to process it, and we know how to reach out to each other for support. And most importantly, if we know what to look for, then we can reach out to the person before it ever happens.
Right. And I want to point out too that even though we have a list of behavioral signs or symptoms to watch for, we can't always know.
Right.
You know, they're not always displaying mm-hmm. all of these, you know, this checklist. And yeah. so we can't.
You can't know what's going on in someone else's internal world.
Right. And so if you have been affected by suicide, if somebody that you love has committed suicide, first of all, we are sorry. Mm-hmm. We are sorry. Our hearts go out to you. But also know that it's not your fault.
It is not.
Because you might have missed something or, you know, whatever. It's not, that doesn't mean that it's your fault. Sometimes people are really good at hiding their emotions.
Yeah.
And they don't advertise it with their behaviors. Sometimes mm-hmm. it is a surprise
mm-hmm.
to everybody. So we're not saying here are the signs, everybody feel guilty. We're saying here are the signs just in case this does happen
mm-hmm.
and you see somebody displaying these characteristics.
Right. Yes. If someone in your life is seeing this, now you're red flags will go up a little bit more than they would have otherwise.
Right.
But if you miss it,
right.
don't take on that blame.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So last time we talked about the risk factors, and this week we'll be talking about the signs and symptoms. So a lot of people give off warning signs. And I'd like to say they give off different warning signs to mm-hmm. different people.
Yeah.
They're kind of smattering them around, mm-hmm. dropping the seeds to see who will pick it up.
Right.
So you might only hear one or two of these, but you need to know what they are so you can identify them. Okay, so there are behavioral symptoms, physical symptoms, cognitive, and then psychosocial. I think the psychosocial are the ones that you'll probably pick up quicker, but we're going to go... Mm-hmm. The behavioral and the psychosocial are but we're going to go through the bulleted list. And this is a list they got from the internet, and it was from a website that I did not write down, so I cannot tell you, but we're going to go with it. So one of them is giving away prized possessions, mm-hmm. things that they really loved. So is it their pet? Is it an heirloom? Is it their car? I mean, sometimes it'll be things that are obvious. Oh, you're giving me your car? Why? Oh, I'm not going to need it. Why aren't you going to need your car? Mm-hmm. That's clearly a red sign, red flag.
Right.
But I think that prized possessions is also things that they hold really dear to them that might not be monetarily valued, but something that they really love and is meaningful.
Yes, absolutely. It could be great grandma's ring,
mm-hmm.
Some jewelry, photos.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, things like that.
Okay, we're going to commercial break. But when we return, we're going to really whip through this list. We want you guys to get the information. Our show is a 30-minute show, so we want to really condense it. This is Jessica Wilkerson, licensed marriage and family therapist, and Melinda Haynes, also a licensed marriage and family therapist, registered here in California. And we'll be back when we return. Thanks.
Scott Allred.
I'm Ben Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Ford.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is Chico Now.
Chico Now.
Welcome back. This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist, number 104464, and I work at Chico Creek Counseling. You can find me at chicocreekcounseling.com. I'm here with my friend and colleague, Melinda Haynes, also a licensed marriage and family therapist, number?
License number 102308, and my website is healplaylove.org.
And if you are triggered by any of the things we're talking about today, I want to encourage you to talk to somebody who has been trained and qualified to work through this with you. So maybe you've been having suicidal ideation yourself, or someone you love has, followed through with it. There are a lot of clinicians out there who are clinical psychologists, licensed marriage and family therapists, licensed social workers, and then the associates that work underneath the licensed folks. So I just want to make sure. I like the website Psychology Today. You can put in your zip code and it'll give you a list of people in your area, and you kind of see their profile and what they specialize in. So we were just talking about the behavioral symptoms, and we're going to keep going with that. We already said talking about giving away prized possessions, and the next is talking about death and dying. It's just something that's been on their mind a lot lately. Mortality.
Right, right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. They might even use phrases such as, I am going to kill myself. They might just mm-hmm. kind of throw it out there, just kind of obvious.
Or when I'm gone, someday when I'm gone.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Or, they just seem to have a fascination with either death in general or their own death.
Yeah. Yeah. And some people have that, and that's just something they're fascinated by. And some people have that because they're having the ideas and the contemplation and the fantasy about ending their own pain and suffering.
Right.
So the next one is they're getting their affairs in order. which is kind of part of what giving away their prized possessions, right? They're making sure everything is all ready to go so that no one has to deal with anything once they're gone.
Right. And this could be where they're creating or updating their will.
Mm-hmm.
Again, mm-hmm. not that everybody who updates their will is
right.
having suicidal ideation, but it could be that. It could be that, you know, they're telling you, oh, you know, the key to the safe is in, you know, mm-hmm. this location, and giving you information on documents and, you know, different things like that. And mm-hmm. you're like, where is this coming from?
Right. Here's all the passwords to all of my secret everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, saying goodbye
mm-hmm.
to loved ones when they start telling you that, you know, I've always loved you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if I don't see you again.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things, if they're saying that and that's just, you know, out of character for them, or you know, you're really, you know, noticing maybe more than one
mm-hmm.
of these symptoms or signs, then definitely reach out for help. And have we given the suicide hotline number yet?
No, I don't think we have. Let me just pull that back up.
Yeah, I've got it right here.
Okay,
Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255.
All right, that's 1-800-273-8255, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline.
That's 24/7. So if you guys are, you know, having those feelings, or if you know somebody who is, definitely encourage them to call or make the call yourself. It's brave to reach out.
Oh, it's so brave to reach out. It's so much harder to reach out
mm-hmm.
than to admit you're struggling than it
yeah.
is to just keep suffering.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
So many people are suffering with this.
So if they're obtaining items that they need for attempted suicide.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So yes. they're asking you about pain medication.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're suddenly buying
a weapon or
mm-hmm.
something. Yes. Okay, increased drug and alcohol use.
Mm-hmm. And decreased social contact. So they've been withdrawing from their social life, mm-hmm. and now it's and or they're also engaging in more recreational drugs and alcohol.
Right, right. And mm-hmm. also we'll see increased risky behaviors,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's almost like, you know, it doesn't matter if I drive Never. Crazy or if I if I do something wild, what's the worst thing that's going to happen to me? You
right.
know?
Oh, so what if I die? All that's going to happen is I'll die, and that won't
right.
hurt me. I'll
right.
just stop. I won't be in pain anymore.
Yeah.
And they're totally minimizing it.
Yeah. There's mm-hmm. no like self-preservation,
mm-hmm.
you know, of, you know, I've got to take care of myself. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, oh, well, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. So scars and injuries from past suicide attempts is one of the physical symptoms. Changes in eating or sleeping habits and chronic or terminal illness. So the physical symptoms are that they have the physical injuries and scars from past attempts. You see that they've changed in their eating and sleeping. So they're not eating or they're eating more. So just poor coping in that regard. And chronic and or terminal illness. So people who have chronic illness, they're always in physical pain. They are. Or if they're terminally ill, it's something that might, you know, they don't have a lot of hope.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about the cognitive and psychosocial symptoms and what to do, how to reach out.
I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Ben Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Ford.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is Chico Now.
Chico Now.
Welcome, welcome. This is your host, Jessica Wilkerson, and I am a licensed marriage and family therapist over at Chico Creek Counseling. My license number is 104464. You can find me at www.chicocreekcounseling.com, or you can call my office at 410-530-410-0505. And I'm here with my friend and colleague, Melinda Haynes, and her info is...
My license number is 102308, and my phone number is 530-518-1406.
And your website is healplaylove.org?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Go ahead and let us know the cognitive symptoms.
Some cognitive symptoms. Cognitive means thinking. Okay, so anything related to like thinking and that kind of stuff. It's preoccupation with death and dying. We already kind of went over that one. Belief that dying by suicide is the only way to end emotional pain.
Mm.
Okay, so that kind of goes in with the whole hope, lack of hope thing. And then we've got some psychosocial symptoms. The first one here is feeling helpless and trapped by emotional pain and psychosis. So if somebody's, you know, experienced an episode of psychosis.
Can you give our listeners what they would look for if someone was experiencing psychosis?
Yeah, psychosis, you might see somebody who's extremely disoriented, who's not in touch with reality. They might be hearing voices or seeing things that are not there.
Mm-hmm. So the next one is self-loathing. Nothing they do is right. They hate everything about themselves. It's just really this deep sense of, it's just self-loathing. And we've got hopelessness, paranoia, intense emotional pain, feeling hopeless about a situation.
We also have mood swings, sudden changes in personality, and severe anxiety and agitation.
You know, I want to go back and also talk about that sudden changes in personality, mm-hmm. because a lot of folks probably think that sudden change in personality would be an increased episode of depression. But actually, when someone has suicidal ideation, they finally have hope that their pain will end, so they actually seem happier.
Right.
So if they've been really struggling for a while and suddenly, out of nowhere, they're just exuberant, well, it's because they have this hope of change, but the hope of change isn't a healthy one. It's not going to lead to a good place.
Right.
So when something like that happens, you suddenly think, oh, what happened? Start asking questions like, oh, What's the change? Why are you suddenly so, like, this is a big difference? And be happy for them that there's a difference, you know? But be curious. Be curious.
Curious is a good word. Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah.
So before we don't run out of time, Melinda, let's talk to our listeners about, now you know the symptoms and the risk factors. What if you think somebody in your life might be at risk for suicidal ideation or dying by suicide?
Right. Sometimes we feel like, oh gosh, I can't say anything to them. They'll be embarrassed that I think that they're, you know, thinking about this, or they're just going to deny it, you know, or whatever. And sometimes we want to be in our own denial.
Mm-hmm.
They're not thinking that, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. And then we have this thought like, well, what if they're not thinking about suicide, but I go and I ask them.
And it gives them the idea.
Yeah. And they're like, that's a great idea. I never thought about that before, you know, and then it's my fault.
That really doesn't happen, guys.
Exactly. That does not happen. I mean, think about if you were feeling lost and hopeless, mm-hmm. would you want somebody to reach out to you?
And say, whoa, I really care about you.
Yeah.
I really care about you, and I see that things are really hard right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? I see that you're hurting. I am here for you. Mm-hmm. And you know what, guys? We don't need to have great answers. Sometimes it's just important to just sit with somebody, mm-hmm. just to say, you know what, I see you. I see your pain, mm-hmm. and I am here for you. And let's go for a walk together. Let's go get some coffee, just anything, just reaching out, you know, giving them that light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, invite them to things. Go over to their house and just sit, you know, be annoying. Be the pest. Just go over to their house, you know, and hang out with them.
Yes. Yes. Just being there, just giving them that hope. You know, I remember one thing that we learned in school back in the day, and I haven't really had to use it since then, but I remember them saying that it was really effective to remind people how much their pets depend on them.
Oh, yeah.
So if someone has a pet, well, if anything happened to you, what would happen to your pet? Would it go mm-hmm. to the Humane Society? Would it end up being euthanized? Right. Can anyone else take care of it as good as you could take care of it?
Right.
You know, pets grieve. Mm-hmm. So, so even sometimes giving them the hope that they're going to be missed and loved, and there's someone who there's a being on this earth that unconditionally loves them and would unconditionally miss
right.
them, can be that step to get them just to give that little flip of their thinking,
mm-hmm.
like the little flip of, okay, well, I guess even if it feels hopeless, I've got to find a solution because I couldn't leave Fido or Pookie mm-hmm. without me.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, guys. This has been all we've got for today on the effects and risk factors and symptoms of suicidal ideation. We hope that this has been educational for you and that the conversation we've had last week and this week has been one in which helps to destigmatize it. And if you or anyone you know has been grieving the death of somebody who died by suicide, I want you to reach out to the other people around you and let them love on you. Right? This is Jessica Wilkerson and Melinda Haynes.